So Hare Krishna, we are very happy to be with all of you this evening in Phoenix, Arizona. We're making quite a quick trip to this great country of the United States of America, and we see the various distinguished characteristics of this country, a very beautiful country. Here in Arizona, of course, it's desert, but the desert is also very beautiful. I'm quite impressed how the city authorities have laid out this city. All the buildings are, I think by law, a natural earthen colors, and they're not more than one story high, maybe one and a half stories high. And this way you can, it seems to fit into the natural beauty of the countryside, and you can see the mountains which are ringing around the city of Phoenix. It's very beautiful. But as we travel around the country, there's one common denominator. Although we see the unique beauty of the Grand Canyon here in Arizona, or the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, or the Big Apple in New York, or the Everglades of Florida, very different. There's one common factor that wherever we go, there's very beautiful temples. ISKCON temples, such as you have in this city. And the standard everywhere we go is the same. Chanting, dancing, feasting, serving the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, spreading the Sankirtan movement. This is one thing that doesn't change anywhere we go. It's like moving from one room in a house to another. Sometimes we wonder where we are, because this temple looks very similar to, where were we today? Houston, Texas. And before that we were in Dallas, Texas. And before that we were in Seattle, Washington. So really we're just moving from one room to the next. One person said, I think a historian, he said that Srila Prabhupada has created a house in which the whole world can live. So when you're in a house, you go from one room to the next, the decor is the same. So the decor, very similar here, very bright, very beautiful, very effulgent. Srila Prabhupada is sitting regally on his Vyasasan, giving us his transcendental association instructions. And you have your very beautiful deities of Shishi, Radha, Madhava, Hari. I've never heard that name before. Radha Madhava I've heard, but Radha Madhava Hari I haven't heard. Hari means he who takes away all inauspiciousness. So we're bathing in his beautiful darshan here, as we do in most of the bigger cities of America, at least on the east and west coast, somewhere in between. People have the opportunity to come and learn about the wonderful world of Hare Krishna. So we thank you for maintaining such a nice temple in this desert. After all, it is a desert. Try as they may to make life comfortable here with their air conditioning and so forth. In a few weeks, it's going to be hotter than hell. And the only place we can go really to get relief from the hellish conditions of material existence, this desert of material existence, is the oasis of this beautiful temple here. So although we don't have so many people here tonight, I imagine you had a very big and glorious Gaur Purnima festival, and probably even bigger, you have bigger Janmashtami and Ram Navami festivals here. So thank you for maintaining this oasis in the desert of material existence where people can come and get the soothing relief by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So we have just sung one song from the Gita Vali, actually, Jai Radha Madhava. This song, of course, was written by the great saint, the great Acharya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He gave the world this very beautiful description of the topmost planet in the spiritual sky, Goloka Vrindavan. Prabhupada one time said that our paintings done by our ISKCON artists are veritable windows to the spiritual sky. But no less true is that of Prabhupada's purports, or the verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam and Prabhupada's purports, or these beautiful songs of our acharyas, which help us enter into the beauty of the spiritual world. And by comparing the beauty of the spiritual world to the so-called beauty of the material world, our hearts are captivated and we become more and more interested in going back home, back to Godhead. This material world has very little to offer compared to the descriptions of the spiritual world that we hear in a song like this, Jaya Radha Madhava. It's a very deep song. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur's son, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he began the Gaudiya Math mission, as we know, all over India. But it was felt at that time that this song was too deep, too intimate to sing. So they don't sing this song in Gaudiya Math. But Prabhupada was very kind when he came to the Western countries. He wanted to introduce us to Krishna. His name, fame, form, pastimes, paraphernalia, his abode, his associates, and the ecstatic mood of loving God. So out of his infinite mercy, he introduced the song to be sung as a regular daily function in our Krishna consciousness movement. When Prabhupada was incorporating this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, it's a corporation actually, a spiritual corporation, he was considering what to call it. So someone suggested the International Society for God Consciousness. Prabhupada thought for a minute, so many people know about God. They don't know who God is. Without knowing who God is, how you can love Him? Without knowing someone, how you can love them? Let us say there's some famous personality visiting Phoenix in a few weeks. People have no real appreciation for him until they know who he is, what he does, how he dresses, what he has to offer. You can't love someone, you can't appreciate someone unless you know their personal characteristics. So there's a lot of talk about love of God in the Western world. How will you awaken that love of God without detailed knowledge about the personality of Godhead? This is the great gift of Vedic culture, the great gift of Krishna consciousness to the Western world. People can truly begin to love God because of his, to begin with, his beautiful form, Tribhunga Sundara. He's not old man, long white hair and scraggly beard and wrinkling skin. No, Nayovanam Cha. He's eternally youthful. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. He's Satchidananda Vigraha. His form is not material. His form is spiritual, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And he's ever youthful. A threefold bending form, long, beautiful, cascading black hair down his shoulders, eyes like lotus flowers that extend almost to his ears, his lips are red like the bimba fruit, his teeth are set like rows of pearls. He wears a beautiful yellow dhoti and sash, and he has a Vajrayanti garland with bumblebees flowing around for the buzzing around for the nectar. That garland of God is ever fresh and goes right down to his ankles. That's a Vajrayanti garland. He has a flute which he plays, and when he plays the fifth note on his flute, the residents of Vrindavan, their hearts melt in transcendental ecstasy. He has very soft, tender lotus feet like this. So many beautiful descriptions of God. So Prabhupada said, no, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So this song, in order to introduce us to the spiritual world, was given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, not sung in the Gaudiya Math, but Srila Prabhupada, most merciful. Just as Lord Chaitanya's more merciful than Krishna, you could say that Prabhupada is more merciful than Lord Chaitanya. Because if you hear about the strict standard that was there, Mahaprabhu was a very strict sannyasi. Very strict. He was the crest jewel of those in the renounced order of life. His female disciples could only offer obeisances to him from a great distance. He was a very strict sannyasi. And the rules and regulations at that time in India were the standard was very high. When one of Mahaprabhu's sannyasis just begged some rice on the order of another from an old woman, Lord Chaitanya was very upset. He broke the strict rules of sannyas conduct and he was ostracized from the society. Junior Haridas was a great scholar, he was a great devotee actually. But to teach a lesson, Mahaprabhu dealt like this. He had to leave. Actually, Mahaprabhu refused to allow him back into his intimate association. As a result, Junior Haridas gave up his life. He considered the pain of death to be less than the pain of separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he gave up his life. Of course, he became like Gandharva, a devotee Gandharva. In a subtle form, he used to sing daily to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a very subtle, almost invisible form. So he was very strict. Even during the time of Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, very strict. Ladies could visit the temple, they could make garlands, they could cook, but they couldn't worship the deity, they couldn't preach. But Srila Prabhupada was very kind. He came to Western countries, and seeing the nature of this country, America in particular, how boys and girls are intermingling, he adjusted things without compromising. This is Acharya. According to time, place, and circumstance, he may have to adjust the previous standard without compromising. It's almost mystical. And Prabhupada allowed ladies to live in the ashram. He said the ladies are doing as much service as the men, and he let them go out and preach Krishna consciousness. He gave them second initiation, his first and second initiation. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave first, he didn't give second. So ladies are allowed to go on the altar and dress our beautiful deities like this. The Prabhupada, you could say, was even more merciful than his own Guru Maharaj and the previous Acharyas by their grace, by their blessings, even Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So out of his causeless mercy, one day in Allahabad, and again in Gorakhpur in India, Prabhupada one morning before Bhagavatam class, he started singing this song. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janavalabha Girivaradadi Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Janananjana Yamuna Tira Manacha, describing the very beautiful description, the deep mood of the residents of Braj, of Vrindavan. And while he was singing, he broke down, actually, and started crying in transcendental ecstasy. We also saw, those of us who were serving in Paris in the early 1970s, Prabhupada came and saw the beautiful deities of Radha Parasishwara, who he had installed 1 year before. So he saw them and he sat down on the Vyasasana and started chanting, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi. That's as far as he got. His hands started trembling and I thought Prabhupada was having a stroke. And tears started flowing from his eyes. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. So I always used to think that was some poetic description, like torrents of rain. But when we saw Prabhupada on the Vyasasana in Paris, the tears were like this, dripping like rain. Not just... Generally, the pure devotees, they hold back these ecstatic symptoms so that they won't be misunderstood by the general public. But sometimes, as Jesus said, my cup runneth over with love. So sometimes the pure devotees are unable to hold back those ecstatic symptoms. And sometimes, on very rare occasions, but we were able to see the symptoms of pure devotional service in the body of a pure devotee. So that shows us how deep is this song, that it brings forth such transcendental emotion from the heart of a pure devotee. And we're very kindly blessed by Srila Prabhupada. He authorized that every time before we give class, we sing this song to remind all of us what is the Panam Gati. What is the goal of Krishna consciousness? Is to awaken our love for God. If you study Srila Prabhupada's purports very carefully, you see analyzes the material nature from all angles and comes up with the same conclusion. Dukkalayam ashashvatam. This world, for all they try to make it out to be with all the billboards and advertising and commercials and promises and this and that, is dukkalayam ashashvatam. It's a temporary place full of so much misery. That's all. They make a big deal of it, but in the end, it's dukkalayam ashashvatam. Just like Prabhupada told the story. One time there was a rumor that the Himalayas were going to give birth, the great Himalayan mountains. Krishna says, of mountains I am the Himalayas. So all the villagers, they assembled at the foothill of the Himalayas. And suddenly a huge cave opened up. People were amazed, wow. The mighty Himalayas, what are they going to give birth to? Some incredible creature. But the story goes, out walked a little mouse. Squeak, 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 squeak. The acharyas use this story that so much hype, so much big something, but all that comes out is a mouse. So much hype about how much happiness you can get in material life. But really, it's the great struggle for material existence. Life is tough, and then you die. So the duty of the acharya is to convince us of that fact, so that we give up these nasty attachments to this world, which only give us misery. So that, once being detached from this world, Prabhupada said, real bhakti begins when you give up sex desire. Until you give up sex desire, you can't really talk about love of God. If you're entrapped in the world of lust, you can't understand what is real love. Love is something selfless. Lust means for me, and love means for Krishna. So if you're lust, if you're hankering to enjoy this world in a myriad of varieties of ways, you can't really begin to understand what is the selfless love of the residents of Vrindavan. So the duty of the guru is to convince the disciple about the futility of material existence, so we let go and we can begin to grab onto Krishna's sweet, sweet lotus feet and begin to understand what is real love. So just so that in the future, when there are those great souls, and I'm sure they're even amongst us now in this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, when they come to that exalted stage, because Krishna Consciousness is more about developing love of God than overcoming lusty desires. Anartha Nivriti. Ado Shuddha Tata Sadhu Sangha Tata Bhajana Kriya Anartha Nivriti Syat. The first half is Vachuvegam, Manasakrodavegam, Jivavegam, Upashtavegam, strict control of the mind and senses. We can't pretend, we can't be sahaja, we can't jump over the process. Slow but sure wins the race. We go through the process of sadhana, but hopefully one day we'll come to the second half, where one gets some steadiness, nishta, some ruchi, some taste, some bhav, some real sentiment for Krishna, and then some prema. It's no secret. This is our real aspiration, this is our real goal. So when we get there, we'll have this information. This will be our life and soul, such songs as this. Like Prabhupada says very clearly, that he wrote the Krishna book, which is the summary of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He writes that one day, when my disciples are very advanced in Krishna consciousness, this Krishna book, he said, will give them solace during their feelings of separation. He says like that. It's not just, he summarized it and made it very simple, so, like a fairy tale or something. No, it's a very deep Krishna book. The subject in Prabhupada's elaboration, presentation of the 10th canto, very deep. He said, one day this Krishna book will give solace to those devotees who are feeling separation. So we'll have songs like this. So they're very deep, and they're meant to elicit that mood of, get some spiritual emotion churning in the heart, instead of the lusty desires, the spiritual desires. And actually by hearing of these very beautiful, sweet, intimate, loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan, as they're described here, it's not that by hearing how Krishna is associating with Radha and the gopis that the mind becomes lusty, no. A beautiful verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam that says the cure for lust is to hear of the nectarian, beautiful, loving pastimes of the residents of Vrindavan. That's how you get cured. The proof that they're not material is that by hearing them, your heart becomes purified. That's the proof. This is nothing mundane. Krishna, the lover of Radha, who displays amorous pastimes in the groves of Vrindavan, he is the lover of the cowherd maidens of Braj. It's Madhurya Ras, it's very intimate, loving pastimes, being chanted by every single member of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But if it was tinged with anything mundane or material, the effect would be that our hearts, the material desires would increase. But rather the opposite is true. By regular attendance in the Bhagavatam class and hearing, by regular attendance in the Bhagavatam class and by rendering service to the pure devotees, all that is inauspicious in the heart of the candidate becomes destroyed almost to nil. And thus, pure devotional service to the Lord is established as an irrevocable fact. So we hear both things. We hear about the nasty nature of this world, and as we advance and go through the 8th, 9th, 10th canto, we don't like stop at the 9th canto. We go, we discuss 10th canto. And by hearing these beautiful pastimes as they're summarized in this beautiful song, Jaya Radha Madhava, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam, the heart becomes purified, and we become attracted to the name, the fame, the form, the paraphernalia, the pastimes of Shishi, Radha, Madhava, Hari. Very beautiful deities here. So beautiful that if you come here in the morning, your heart becomes captivated, and you go out in this world, and whatever the material energy throws at you, in the form of, this beautiful desert, this beautiful city, the clear sky, the stars at night, or the beautiful form of a woman, or the handsome form of a man, or a job opportunity, you're thinking, well, sorry, I took darshan of the Lord of creation. Aham savasya pavavo matta sarvam pavartate. Krishna says he's the source of all that is material and spiritual. He's the source of all beauty. So all the beauty of this world is only a fraction of the beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he kindly comes in his Artha-Vigraha form to captivate our senses, to purify our hearts, to steal our hearts. He's Manohara. He steals the mind by his transcendental spiritual qualities. And what is God doing? He's standing with his eternal consort, enjoying loving pastimes in the pastoral grounds of Sri Vrindavan Dham. And he's inviting us home, back to that world. And once there was a man, he wanted to know, he wanted to understand which of the gods to worship. So he went to a temple of Lord Brahma and he was impressed. Oh, he's so intelligent, four heads, creating. He went to a temple of Shivji doing his Nataraj, his dance of destruction. So powerful, the whole cosmos is annihilated. The fire, the friction created by his dance. He's so impressed. He went to the temple of Indra. He was in charge of the Samvartaka clouds. Vayu, the wind. He was so impressed. They're so powerful. They're working so hard. Then he happened upon a temple of Radha and Krishna. And he saw Krishna. He's just standing there playing his flute with Radharani in her dancing pose. Here she has the pose of giving blessings. Yeah, no, this must be God. Just enjoying. All the others have to work. Why should God have to work? He created it all. By his will alone it is all going on. Why does he have to work? This must be God, Krishna. Just eternally enjoying, even beyond Vaikuntha, the official kingdom of God, where he's worshipped in awe and reverence. In Vrindavan, he's just enjoying, and all his devotees are enjoying in his transcendental service. So how? It says here, Jayaradha Madhava. Madhava actually means the husband of the goddess of fortune. Now wait a minute. The goddess of the husband of the goddess of fortune. The goddess of fortune is Lakshmi. The goddess of fortune is Lakshmi. And her husband is Narayan. So what is this? Jayaradha Madhava. All glories to Radha Madhava, the husband of the goddess of fortune. We, our acharyas, have revealed that the original goddess of fortune is Srimati Radharani. And just as Krishna expands in the various Narayan forms in Vaikuntha, Kurma, Matsya, Nasringa, Vamana, Parasurama, etc., whenever he expands into the Narayan forms, Radharani expands into the Lakshmi forms, Sita, Durga, etc. So, this is a factually correct. Jayarad, yes, the original goddess of fortune, Srimati Radharani. And he displays his pastimes with her in the groves of Vrindavan. Yes, the groves of Vrindavan. The simple village life. Prabhupada said, man created the cities, but God created the country. And when you want to enjoy, do you stay in the city? No, you go out into this beautiful desert. It has its unique beauty. Don't go out midday, in the morning, in the evening. God created the countryside. So the Lord lives in the countryside, not a desert like here. He lives in a very beautiful pastoral scene with rivers and kunjas. Kunja Bihari. Bihari means enjoy. Kunja means like you see in India and Uttar Pradesh, you see in Vrindavan, how the trees grow very nicely. They make a little bowery, like a little bower. Not a bowery, a bower. And there the Lord has his very sweet pastimes with his devotees. And he's famous as the lifter of the hill called Govardhan. Govardhan's very famous. Prabhupada said, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill to show that if someone claims to be God, he'll also have to lift a hill like Govardhan. But more so that because by lifting that great mountain, he gave the opportunity for all the residents of Vrindavan to come together and have one big festival under his shelter. Because you know, in Vrindavan there's different devotees and different moods, different rasas of service. They love Krishna as the child, as the best friend, as the lover, like that. And they all have their different parts of Vrindavan where their pastimes are taking place. They don't mix. In Vrindavan, Krishna, in the village of Vrindavan, he's with his mother, Yashoda, and his father, Nanda Baba, and the elderly gopas and the elderly gopis. But then he leaves Vrindavan to go to the forest, like Madhuvan, to herd the cows with his cowherd boyfriends. And then he goes into the kunjas at certain times of the day to just associate with his girlfriends, like that. So all these residents, they have different places. But when he lifted the Govardhan Hill, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, everybody came together because it was raining really heavy and it was going to be inundated by the Samvartaka clouds of Indra. So everybody came together under the Govardhan Hill, creating a great jubilant festival. The more the merrier. Everyone together at one time under the protection of the lotus feet of Krishna. This is the special nature of the Govardhan pastime. And the beloved son of Mother Yashoda, Vatsalya Ras, one time Prabhupada said, anyone who thinks that the love of Mother Yashoda is inferior to the love of Radharani, he's a great offender. We also relish these wonderful, sweet parental pastimes of baby Krishna, especially during the month of Damodar. And then he's the delighter of all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. He's the cynosure of all eyes. They're always thinking. They never forget Krishna for a moment because they're in love with Krishna. We remember Krishna sometimes, here and there. But if you love someone deeply, you think of them 24 hours a day, and that's the goal. To always remember Krishna and never forget him. So we have that beautiful standard of the residents of Vrindavan exhibited in all their pastimes with Krishna. And he wanders in the forests along the banks of the river Jamuna. So by repeatedly singing this song, Jai Radha Madhava, Kunja Bihari, Gopidana Balaba, Giri Varadari, we get an impression of Krishna consciousness. Right now we have a deep impression of the material world because most of us grew up in that world and all that it means. We know all the details of material life, especially if you listen to the news. There's a deep impression created in your heart as a result of that worldly news. Here's news of the spiritual sky, meant to create a deep impression. It's meant to override the deep impression that we have of material life. Just like when you're downloading a file. If you've already downloaded an attached file in your computer, then if the same file comes up again, it says, do you want to overwrite the previous file? And you go, yes, maybe there's been some corrections done. So we have a deep impression of the material world. But by practicing Krishna consciousness, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, it's meant to overwrite that deep impression in the heart of material existence. But you have to give it a chance, like John Lennon said, give peace a chance. You have to give Krishna consciousness a chance to override the deep impression of material world. Therefore, we have to practice Krishna consciousness regularly, with great determination, very serious. 16 rounds a day, the three Gayatris, the regular study of the books, and coming to the temple, participating in the festivals, doing some service like this. We have to eventually, as time goes on, as we get older, give more time to these pure spiritual activities than we do any activities of this world. That's the beauty of old age. Old age means that you can't be so active anymore in your business and your family life and all your material dreams. You have to let them go because the old gray mare just ain't what she used to be. The body begins to... But we don't lament, oh, I'm getting old. No. Now's the time to retire. I asked my friend Bhakti Bringa Govinda Maharaj, His Holiness, Maharaj, we're traveling sannyasis now, but the writing's on the wall. Getting harder to go to these far distant places like Phoenix, Arizona, Tucson, Arizona. How many times can we visit there in this lifetime? It's just, I said, what will we do in our extreme old age? He said, it'll be very nice. We'll sit in one place, hopefully Vrindavan, and we'll just chant all day long. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram. And we'll study Prabhupada's books, and we'll study the teachings of the Goswamis like this. And then our disciples will come in the evening, and we'll share our reading, our realizations with them. Prabhupada set a very unique standard. He preached to the last moment, the purports in the 10th canto, up until a certain chapter. Just as the last breath, life air, he was. But he did write in his Srimad Bhagavatam that he was developing the Krishna Balaram Mandir with the hope that some of his students would come and retire there in their old age and go deeper into Krishna consciousness. Strike the balance. A lifetime of preaching and some very deep sadhana at the end. That's okay. Life is about the yin, the yang, finding the balance. So those devotees who spend a lifetime of preaching, either active preaching or contributing to the preaching by their family life, whatever the case may be, there's no harm in retiring, setting a glorious example, the art of dying. But you need both. You purified by many years of preaching, but we can't neglect our deep study of the scriptures and developing a deep attachment for the holy names, so that with a purified heart through service and a deep understanding of Krishna consciousness by study and chanting, then the hope will be that when we do leave this world, instead of having some memory of our past life, we'll have a, meaning before we came to Krishna consciousness, we'll have a very deep impression of Krishna consciousness as it's described in this verse, and truly think of Vrindavan Krishna, Shamsundar, Shishi, Radha Madhava Hari. They'll appear in our hearts because of a deep attachment, and then truly we will, as Prabhupada desired, go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Prema Nandi.